Today on our show,
we are counting down our five best and worst travel experiences.
That's right.
With thanks to listener Andrew Watson for the suggestion.
Sup, Drew. Thank you very much. Let's go, Polly. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 471 of the Countdown Podcast. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the show. We count down stuff in order of awesomeness so you do not have to.
Damn straight.
And today, as mentioned, travel experiences. Now,
yes.
For those of you playing at home, this is not something we've ever done before on the show. It's a great left of field suggestion from Andrew.
Exactly.
Thank you, and, sir, for that.
Yes. I should mention now.
That's what I was going to say.
I am not the prolific traveler that Paul has. I've had far less experience than him.
And I'm probably not the prolific traveler compared to many out there either. So
yeah, there's some people who take like 10 trips every year and shit. That's happening. That's
currently hold gold status with Singapore Airlines for 1 year.
But that's a pretty good...
number one, no.
No, but that's like that's a pretty good indication that you're something of a prolific traveler.
Luckily, I was fortunate enough in the last year or so to have been to a couple of big trips.
Yeah.
Japan and the US and the like, which along with a quick trip to Singapore with the family at one point meant that somehow I achieved this gold status where I look forward to frequently. No, we're trying to work out to do two trips before my status expires because it's impossible to maintain.
Oh yeah, you could be traveling all the time. Yeah. And also like do you get like, is it just that you get the lounge or do you get like accommodation or anything that?
No,
you
can't
just
lounge.
Get in there, jerk off on the bed or something.
I assume give you... You're more likely to be upgraded ever happens.
If you're gold standard, if you go in the plane, the stewardess comes up to you first and says, "What would you like to eat, Mr. Pizzula?" And then you're like, "You're a pussy." So it's...
I know, it's like, I knew where you were going.
I didn't know I was going there until like that.
That execution was going to come out just like that. No, so yes, your list might be different than mine. I think I've got some good stories to tell.
Yeah, I mean, I've been places, but like, I mean, these are all sort of like, I go to deep travel. I don't go to often travel, shall we say.
Fair enough. So that's what we're going to be doing today. There is something for this week's recount. Didn't think there was, so let's get into that right now.
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
The recounts are in mail room, Paul. What did we get from the mail?
We got an email from Ben Burnham.
Electronic mail.
We did. And we don't get that many of these, so please, if you want to write to us before the show ends, 29 episodes away from now, this is the way to get to us. And we are particularly touched when people take the time to write something like this. And this is a particularly touching one, so prepare yourselves. Ben has given his permission for us to read this. Gentlemen, well, you two guys. I write this message as I take a break from composing a eulogy for my father. Not to star so heavy, but I reckon it will serve to emphasize the point. The last few weeks and months have been trying, to say the very least, and you two and your show and the community has spawned have been an immeasurable help in being able to cope and carry on. It may sound a small thing, but being able to put on your show and take a break from the cares and worries of the day, listening to the banter, the laughter, Wayne, Woody, woodpeckering it up, distancing the old brain with things more fun and enjoyable has helped keep me sane. So thank you for that.
Wow.
Thank you for all your time and effort in making the show. I know it's tough watching all those movies for the last top 10 last 10 episodes.
Yes, it is.
Encouraging the community online that has sprouted from it. And it must be said, introducing us listeners to some great podcasts, including Binge Movies, The Pint, We Watch The Thing, etc. Movies and TV. Yeah, they're just movies and TV, but they help to connect people and bond, whether it's fathers and sons or some randos online on the other side of the world. My dad was a big movie guy, which in part led me to be the same, and a big train guy, thus a big train movie guy.
Hmm.
So here's an idea of a show for you. The top 10 train movies. So
yeah,
we can.
Maybe, yeah, I reckon we can swing that.
Swing that one around as a bit of an honor to Ben and Ben's dad. Not that he would try to convince us to do so by playing on our sympathies. So good work, gentlemen. It's been an honor to be a patron and supporter of the show. And though it's sad knowing that we're entering the final phase of the show proper, 9+ years ain't nothing to sneeze at. The dude abides. Cheers, Ben.
Oh, very kind of you, Ben. That is amazing. Thank you so much.
Very amazing. We'll add that one to the list of final topics, Ben. Train films. I can. Do we count Trainspotting? Anyway, we'll talk about that one.
We'll talk about it later. The show. Fine.
But that's the kind of thing that really has kept us going. The lifeblood, I think.
Absolutely.
Fair to say, of the show. So thank you, Ben, for being so helpful. And our condolences to you on the loss of your father. I hope the funeral and the eulogy went as well as it could through such a difficult time.
All the best, my man. I've been there myself.
All right, from that to, let's do the worst first, Wayne.
I think the worst first is good. Yeah,
and finishing on the highs.
Yeah, let's do that.
Make it the sense? That.
Absolutely.
So let's get into it proper, Wayne. Take us away. Your fifth worst travel experience.
Fantastic. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, picture it.
Sicily.
Sicily, actually Vegas, 2005.
At least tell me it was fucking Caesar's Palace.
Caesar's Palace, yes, absolutely. Okay, so everyone, ladies and gentlemen, I went there on a tour. A couple of my stories are from this tour. This is just one of the second town, in fact, that I visited on that tour with friend Christian, who was there.
Yep. Once co-host of the show.
Once co-host of the show. And here's what happened, okay? Now, I'm told, before I go to Vegas the first time, everyone has a Vegas story if you go there, okay?
I've been there twice.
Been there twice? You got a Vegas story?
No.
Okay, here's mine. Now, I don't know what's going on, and I'm still kind of adjusting to being in America. It's one of my first big trips. It was back in 05, and I'm like, okay, we're in Vegas. What are we going to do? All right, well, here's what we do. Get fucked up, of course. Well, all right?
Goes without saying, if you're not going with your family or your girlfriend, there was only two times I've been to Vegas.
Exactly. By the way, I have been to Vegas with my mother. It's a longer another story.
But ranks higher or lower than this one?
It's not even on the list.
Right, so lower.
Now, with this Vegas story, we go, all right, let's leave the hotel. By the way, we stayed at some shitty Motel 6 on the Strip because that was the closest to all of the action, despite it being the type of hotel that you do not leave your passport at. Okay? So we go out, we're like, all right, let's get fucked up. We go to Fremont Street, which is this big drag in Vegas where there's like a lit up sort of like overhorn thing.
So it's not the main strip?
It's not the main drag as in the Vegas Strip, but it is off the Vegas Strip and it's very well known. We decide to get footballs of alcoholic slushy. Now, Americans, you may or may not know this. In Australia, when you order alcohol, they give it to you in 30 millimeter bursts and they measure out 30 mils, okay? In America, you tip the guy, he's got a bit of an elbow problem. He just fucking puts it in there. If you give him a good tip, he puts a better bunch of alcohol in there. And this is one of those nights. And this is what happens when you're Asian. Sometimes you drink and you're drinking a lot and you are imbibing alcohol, feeling all the bad effects, but not actually getting drunk. Sometimes that happens. And I found that this evening we were drinking these slushy footballs in yard glasses. The whole tour was, by the way, there was 50 of these people. We're getting fucked up. We're taking places out. We're going into bars and filling them up and yada, yada, yada. And it becomes a debaucherous evening where we go from bar to bar to bar to bar to bar. And then I'm like, it's about, I would say, 2 a.m. And I said to Christian, hey, I've been to Vegas and not seen a single Tay-Tay. And he's like, well, let's fix that directly. Now, y'all can see where
what
this is going.
What could possibly go
what
wrong?
What could go wrong? Now, he says to me, as a proponent and someone who had been to the States before, he says, the best titty bar string in America is the Spearmint Rhinoceros, which is a chain of titty bars. And I'm like, well, okay. Away we go then. So we're on the Strip. We're walking out. By the way, in Vegas, when you walk around, there's like flyers for whores all over the street. You trip over them. There's just like, because people are doing this thing
they clean that up a little bit.
Have they? Okay. Yeah. Well, they snap the thing, you know, and they, here you go. Hey, man, look over here, whatever. And so anyway.
There's certainly scantily clad women passing around flyers to go to places. But yeah. I didn't see this covering the sidewalk.
Well, it's actually surprising to me that it got to 2 a.m. before I even thought about titties. Obviously, I was just wasting my life.
It's so exceptionally surprising to me.
So here's what happens, all right? We go, all right, off to a titty bar, shall we? And by the way, we're pretty drunk at this stage. I'm pretty sure my dick didn't work at that stage. Like, at that, like
doesn't matter, you're going to titty bar.
Exactly, you're going to titty bar. It's about the experience. This was academic, really, Paul. So I flag a fucking taxi. There was no Uber at that
stage. Taxi, yeah.
Taxi, yes. Yeah. Pulls up, sit down. What's happening? Chris is like, the Spearmint Rhino, my good man. And he's like, you guys looking for a good night? And I'm like, I mean, I guess so. And he says, I know a better place. By the way, he was of Polish descent. I would say.
Untrustworthy piece of shit.
Some spoilers, Paul is a Polish.
Yes, hence I can make that joke. That never happens.
I know. You're welcome, Paul. So he's like, I know a better place. And idiots that we are, drunk off our vaginas at 2 in the morning, well then take us to your place, all right? He goes, no problem.
And he's like, you're like.
Yeah. He gets on his horn and he's like, right? Or whatever, speaking his language into the horn, right? And in fact saying, you know, what he obviously was doing was saying in his language to whoever had paid him off to bring people there.
Which
is definitely more Arabic than it is Polish.
Not Polish.
What does Polish sound like?
Paul? I don't know.
Okay.
My last name.
Yeah. Przula, 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 przula. Yeah. There you go. And so anyway, he's like, okay.
Like Russian.
Yeah, he pulls us way off the Strip, right? He goes, okay, we thought we were going to go down the road somewhere, and nope, makes a right, keeps going. All of a sudden, it's Goodfellas, okay? Because I'm like, yo,
was it
man.
A casino?
It was casino, sorry. where he's like, the lights of Vegas Strip are getting further and further in the distance, and all I'm seeing is the blackness of the desert. And I'm
even
like,
even in your drunken state, you're like, ruh-roh.
No, no, I was like, what's going on here? Are we about to get raped? I like, and not in a good way. And so I'm like, oh shit.
Oh God, how many people are offending with this story? Wayne's like, I've got nothing to tell, and yet this story's been going for 27 minutes.
This is the tip of the iceberg, ladies and gentlemen, because he drives for what seemed like a good 15 minutes. And I'm like, we are definitely nowhere near the strip now. We don't know what's going on. I'm saying to him, hey, bro, how much longer? Right there. We're right there. We're right there. Turns the corner. And then out of nowhere comes this huge, massive titty bar called the Jaguar Lounge.
Not called the Titty Twister.
That's what I thought. The Titty Twister, right? It was purple and it was big. And even more surprisingly, it was full of like limos out the front and stuff like that.
Limos?
Limos, right? And I'm like, oh, okay. So we get out. Someone comes to his door. Haka, haka. You know, whatever they're talking. Pazula, Pazula, Pazula. I'm sure there's
take it back.
There's an envelope that changes hands. So he's definitely paid to bring schlubs like ourselves
right.
from the strip to this fucking place. All right. See you later, guys. Off he goes.
It's an envelope, not just a 10-buck note.
Oh, yeah. Something changed hands. Yeah. In my head, it's an envelope. Anyway, so we line up to get in, right? Turns out it's like a $50 cover charge, right? US, which is like $8,000
yeah,
Australian, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much the gross domestic product of Australia.
Exactly, right? So we're like, fuck. But what are you going to do? We can't like leave. We just turned up. Okay, fine. So we pay. It might have been more, actually. It might have been, it was a goodly amount.
Did you get like free drinks for that?
There was, I think it was this. It might have been cover charge with no two-drink minimum was a certain amount, and one with a two-drink minimum was... It worked out to be... We were in no position to make economic choices, right?
Yeah, the very few number of these bars I frequented in my travels around the world, the last one of which I went into was in Thailand with my girlfriend at the time, who would become my wife.
Yeah.
We went there, and it's like, oh, your first drink's like, whatever, a nominal price. And then your subsequent drinks are so jacked up in price. They're like, sons of bitches.
Oh, that's a bitch of a thing. Anyway, we go in there, and I'll tell you this, though, right? In Perth, we don't have titty bars like this. Not that I've been to all of them, but we walked in and it was like...
The normal person there would have said, not that I've been to them. Well, it's like, not that I've been to all of them.
Well, we've all been to bachelor parties, Paul.
In their current iteration.
Half the ones I've been to,
i.e. in Paul 2024.
Actually, I haven't been to a titty bar in at least 10 years. Yeah, right?
Obviously.
So anyway, I walk in there and it's like the opening scene of like motherfucking Species movie where the camera... Like bounces around like this. The bar is so big. There were women in swings, in cages, suspended high in the air. There were way more women than there were men. And there was at least, I would say, in my head, hundreds of women in there. Right? Wow. It was huge. And there was dudes everywhere, but more women than dudes, which you certainly don't get in Perth, right? And so it's like, what the hell is going on here? And we were actually kind of, holy shit, we don't know what to do, right? Immediately as we walk in, these women turn up and they're like, yo, what's up? Want a party, this, that, whatever. We don't know how to deal with
this. This is the worst story ever.
Yeah, it's the worst because we got taken. All right, Paul. Anyway, we go straight to the bar. We're like, sit down. Okay, fine. As soon as we sit, our ass doesn't even hit the chair. Women are like, two women actually walked up to me, making out as they walked up to me saying, all we're missing is a cock. That's what she said. I was like, whoa.
Wow.
I don't know how to deal with this. Then I look in the pit.
Glad we started this one off with this story.
We look in the pit.
My comparison to one number five is so fucking
bad. Well, no, what I'm saying is, right, it was a big thing. And then what, I mean, I can tell you all the things that happened. For example, in the pit, you know, in the movie Go movie, they make a point of saying that a woman gives you a lap dance, you cannot put your hands on her. She can put her hands on you, you cannot touch her. That was not the case in this pit. Dudes had their hands all over women's butts. We kind of couldn't handle it. We were like, I don't know what to do here, right? So anyway, well, let's have a drink. Christian orders two waters because we're fucking fucked, right?
Yep, because he's drunk.
The waters come in, he gets the bill, he taps, he pays, whatever. Turns out the waters were $23 each.
Wow.
And the water had the Jaguar Lounge.
Seriously?
Like,
$23?
Some ridiculous amount like that, all right? Jeez. And we were like, holy shit. And it was branded water, but it was just water. So we sync him. He's like, what the fuck? He didn't notice until back in the cab where he's like, oh, no, fuck. He looks at the slip, right? We just go, all right, you know what? I can't handle this. We're at a titty bar. Let's do one lap and we'll fuck off, right? We do one lap. And then women still like throwing their shit at us, this, that, whatever. And then after the seventh thing, I said, look, I don't want one, but I want to know how much this shit costs, right? She says, I said, look, how much does it cost for a lap dance? She goes, $20 for a song, but for $150, I take you upstairs and we have a more personal experience. That must be the champagne room, Paul, right? And I'm like, wow. And I'm already like $100 down. I didn't even walk in. Right? Yeah,
and you didn't buy the waters.
Exactly. So we walk around and basically we just got out there. We get a cab. We go over. And that's when Christian spews about the $23 waters or whatever.
Wow. It
was. Yeah. Anyway, that was it's not that bad because it's in the scheme of things, but I don't like being taken, Paul. I don't like being taken.
Yeah, fair enough. The very best part of this story, which you're not going to understand, ladies and gentlemen, I'm now going to share with you, is before we started recording, Wayne's like, I don't know if I got very much this episode. I'm not sure I'm going to have much to share, and you're going to have to do all the talking. 23 minutes into raw recording.
Are we at 23? I'm sorry, I've been talking so long. All right, my next ones will be quite shorter, Paul. Everyone, it'll be a quicker hit than this.
Right, I'm just thinking of the 2.5 hour episode is going to be. But mine is short. My number five worst travel experience is my one related to a domestic travel, which is once a year, myself and friend Glenn go to Melbourne.
Your famed COVID footy trip.
For the footy trip per season. And this is circa 2010. Don't know exactly what year it was because they all do blend together after about 18 or 19 of these. Imagine. Minus the COVID years. We were stuck on this domestic Qantas flight for 3 fucking hours. So we had an 11 a.m. flight, fly out to Melbourne. There's a 2-hour time difference. You get there about 5 p.m.
Right.
You then jump in a cab, motor down to the CBD, get in your hotel room, and then you head straight to the MCG or to what's now called Marvel Stadium for a football game. My team, Essendon, happened to be playing that particular night. And we get on the plane, and this is everything that's wrong with air travel gone wrong.
Yeah.
All right, so we sit down. There's a problem. And the problem is that this plane was late enough that the scheduled crew or something, they tried to explain the shit, had to fuck off onto another flight. So they had to get a replacement crew in. Well, then why let us on the fucking plane in the first place?
Yeah.
It should have just been delayed. But they wouldn't let us off the plane because theoretically this was going to happen at any moment.
That is infuriating.
Except it took 3 hours.
3 hours. You know what? That's your whole, more than almost your whole flight.
It's the whole, like, 4-hour flight to Melbourne.
Yeah. And there's nothing worse than being in a fucking plane.
And you can't do anything.
Sitting on a tarmac.
You weren't even allowed to get up.
That's right. What? Why?
You've had to use the toilet. Like, there was nothing to do, like, other than what have you brought with you. There's no entertainment system operating because they haven't lifted off yet. It was just an absolute shit show. People were getting progressively angrier and angrier. We had the exit row. So we were right across from the staff.
Oh, no.
Most of the time, they weren't sitting there. But every so often, it was almost like they got to the point of, all right. But then they go, oh, there was something else about the luggage of some passenger or something else. So it was like 2 or 3 different factors. But the long and short of it is we missed our fucking football game because we flew 3 hours late. The whole reason I go to Melbourne, other than to spend time with Glenn and some of our friends in Melbourne and catch up.
Cut the crap, Paul. Yep. You want to go for footy.
And I want to see Essendon play. Didn't get to see it that time. And of course, you don't get any fucking, not that the refund of a footy ticket that much, but it's like, you wankers, Qantas. You absolute fucking wankers. And right at the moment, they're in the media for their percentage time because Qantas have been proven to be a bunch of wankers several times over.
Yeah.
And at the moment are battling this terrible image that they've got. But they own not quite a monopoly because their only real competitor is Virgin.
Mm.
But, you know, it's the national carrier. It's meant to be the flagship of Australia. They fucking blow. And I refuse to fly Qantas.
Really?
Whenever I can avoid it.
Do you know, I've only had good experiences with Qantas. Ugh. But then again, I probably, because I travel so little, it's just a jag.
They are very rarely on time, though. They will try and tell you it's 78% bullshit. In my experience, flying with Qantas is more like 30% on time.
Really? What's weird is the thing that pisses you off, just as a human and mostly as a male, is that you're spending all of the time you have to spend in a plane to get somewhere, which is not pleasant. I hate flying. Look, but you're not moving!
Yeah. When you're adding that time, I would get off, we'll call you back, and you know all your luggage is whatever on. But I know what they were thinking. If we let people off the back onto the,
take forever to
the
get
terminal to get them back on, it's going to da-da-da-da. Well, had they made that call in the first 20 minutes, it would have absolutely been appropriate. I understand that for 1 hour, you can't really put people back off.
3 hours sitting on a plane.
Oh, it sucks.
That's insane, dude.
So yeah, that's my fifth worst experience. What do you got for number 4?
My number 4 is called Breaking Up With A Hoe in Sonoma.
Can we not use the word hoe?
All right, let's just say that, okay? Long story short, ladies and gentlemen, I went in 2016 to, that's the last time I was at the States, to the wine country in San Francisco, in sort of California, is Napa Valley and Sonoma. They're next to each other.
Right.
That's where this couple was having a marriage, and that's the reason we were there, essentially, me and my then girlfriend. And by the way, I should mention that I introduced this couple, and now they're getting married in Sonoma. Further solidifying my reputation as the John Stockton of love. So I give you the assist, baby. You know what I'm saying? So
pretty sure no one's ever used that description for you. But please continue.
For all you know, Paul, in certain communities, they call me that.
Otherwise, you could be Karl Malone because you're the postman who delivers.
I really like the John Stockton one better.
I'll just say how ridiculous it is.
Hilarious. So, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever been on a big trip, like in a faraway land, with your significant other?
You're about to trump here B-Dizzle's story about their mate. I'm pretty sure it's B-Dizzle who broke up with someone at the movies and they all went to the movies afterwards anyway and stood sat next to each other.
That is weird, but this is a big jump in that. Now, I've heard this happens from this. I never thought it would happen to me, and it almost did and almost didn't. But apparently this is not an uncommon thing. My friend Danny, she went to Bali with her then boyfriend, broke up with him in the middle of Bali. They had to get separate hotels. They had to, and then this after all that shit, they'd spent like 3 days apart, not seeing each other, then had to fly together back,
That's a pretty miserable experience. And they had to sit next to each other
The plane flight back. Why would anyone do that? Just wait, woman. Just wait, all right? But she doesn't say, you're nuts. She's like, I know, but I did it. Whatever. I was like, awkward. You're insane. Apparently, and Bridget, the same girl who was with me, did that with her boyfriend in Paris. Same thing happened. Anyway. Wow. So I'm there in like Sonoma with her and we have this massive fight. It just does not go well, all right? Okay. And I'm like, holy shit. And even then I'm like, why couldn't you wait until we as it happens, we sort of made up that night and we were fine for the rest of the trip.
Oh, so you didn't actually break up.
We didn't actually break up, but it got there.
That didn't gel with my memory, but I wasn't going to ruin your good story.
Well, no, because we did get up there and then like there's a longer story for this and that's coming up. But like that was just, I just remember thinking to myself, just lie to me. Just lie so I don't have to go through this shit and then you can break up with me when we leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Or we can just have a thing. But why bring it up now? Women be crazy. That's it.
Where is your honor, dirtbag? You are an absolute disgrace.
That's all that needs to be said, really.
There you go. That one was quicker, Paul.
That was quicker. My number four is also very quick and it mostly involves how my bowels were evacuating themselves. Getting Thai belly in Thailand in 2012. Not a fun experience.
When we were together?
Yeah, when we all went there around that year, that period. We went as a group of friends, including the aforementioned Christian and his partner, and obviously yourself and your partner, and we had Brett. And
five couples it was?
Yep. And so we hired a really nice villa where there was a snake in the fucking shower, in the pool shower, and the first day when I went in there, I'm like, and came backing out real fast.
I missed that.
Told the staff, and they went and collected the snake from the shower.
Fucking third world countries. Go on.
And the place where, of course, as you and I will have often lamented, where
that's
you.
That's on my list. Don't talk.
Oh, okay. In that case, I won't ruin that part of the story. I'm glad. But like the second, I think second or maybe the third last day.
I only just remember this now.
We did all the things that you would do. And so a bunch of us, and I don't think you went on this, decided to go snorkeling out on whatever boat it was. And so myself and my girlfriend.
I did go that day.
Oh, you did go.
But that's also one of my best of stories. Yeah. So please keep going.
And we stopped at this island, wherever the fuck it was, and bought an ice cream. But, we were very careful. You don't drink local water if you are a tourist and you don't have ice blocks or anything in any of your drinks. And you buy bottled everything. And I'd done all those things. So somehow that night we go out to dinner.
Yeah.
And I suddenly come down with massive stomach cramps and I'm running to the shitter. And then I have to go back to the villa because I just can't be out anymore because I'm a danger to any and all around me in a 3-foot radius. And my then girlfriend, who's now my wife, she, lovingly came with me to keep me company. And we went back to and I was just every 20 minutes.
I remember this because she had to leave. She had to leave where we were. And it's like, Paul's got this shit. It's like a damn shower. Yeah. And I got to bounce.
My vagary is I went to dinner and couldn't last and left early.
Yeah, you couldn't eat whatever we were eating.
And I just came back. And then either she came with me or came back soon after. I'm not even sure that. But anyway, we spent the night with her sitting next to me, sort of comforting me. We put the beach on in the home cinema and we watched that.
I remember that little cinema.
And it has a nice sort of tail end to it, but not really. The tail end was not nice.
Let me ask you this, because as I recall, not to harp on shit, but that is what we do on the show.
Yeah. if you've not noticed.
And this may be one of the first few times I've encountered this, but in that particular facility, it was known, all right, everyone, you can't flush the paper.
Yes.
All right? So but you have to.
Aren't you saving this part for your. No, this is not the part.
No, this is just that. But
I was about to say, you can't flush your toilet paper because it blocks up their shitty drainage system.
Right. So I'm like, wait a minute. What does that mean I have to do with the paper?
Basket next to you.
That's right. I am in there with my girlfriend and I have to put my shit papers in a basket where she's going to use the same toilet, smell the log fucking residue. What the fuck? I can't live like this, Paul.
So gross.
So I figured out a
workaround. Some of our friends are talking about wanting to go back to Thailand for our 50th next year. I'm like, I don't know.
No, I figured a workaround that you can use if we need to. Oh, ready?
Sure.
Here's the thing. You can shit and wipe with one square if you can figure it. You can flush that one square. You cannot flush a wad of shit papers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Christian tried something similar and then blocked up the drainage system.
No, he fucked up, right? He had this fucking mountain of shit
anyway,
going
let's not get into that. That's my number four.
Nice one. Nice one. My number four worst travel experience.
Three.
Is getting drunk off my asshole in New York and having to return to the hotel where my mother was sleeping.
The first part of that statement, I'm like, what's your problem? Yeah, it all comes home to roost in the second part.
So 2008, I've been to New York a few times, right? But like 2008 was, long story short, my mom had a stroke like the year before. She said, look, before I die, she's still around.
Glad to hear it.
Yes. She said, I want to go to the States. I've never been before. Can you take me? Right? And I'm like, all right. Look. No one wants to go on a vacation with their mom. All right. I'm like, maybe some guys do.
Once you passed about 17, you're right.
Exactly.
Probably
right?
Not only 17, probably 15.
But at 17, 15, she's taking you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is a different thing. So we go to Vegas, right?
Baby.
With my mom. Yeah. Because she loves the slots. She's an Asian woman. Right. And so she has a good enough time there. Then we go, okay, we got to go to New York. And it turns out in New York, you have to walk everywhere. And I forgot. You have to walk everywhere.
You don't have to, but to give you a graphic illustration of my trip there last year when we were getting the Uber from the airport into our hotel, which was right near Times Square, like we were two blocks away and it was saying 20 minutes.
Yep.
We said, thanks very much. Let us out here. We'll just...
That's right. So that's the thing. The traffic is so bad and frankly, I found the trains very confusing.
The
trains are actually like, they're very small trains. They're not the old system. You know, it's like you got to walk to the train station anyway, right?
Yep.
So... Anyway, she, you know, being that she was recovering from a stroke, she's not great with the walking, right?
And fair enough.
Couldn't do. And I found this out even in Vegas, where you have 7-lane fucking highways. By the time she got across the line, it turned green. It was very stressful, all right? So anyway, finally we get to New York. We have this horrible thing where our room isn't there, right?
Oh, no.
I know. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm traveling with, like, I don't know what to do here. And they're like, look, we don't have your room. I said, this is the booking. Like, I know, we fucked up. I'm like, well, what are you going to do to fix it? They go, we'll have a room available for you at like 3 o'clock. This was like 11 in the morning. And I'm like, so what do we do in the meantime? She goes, well, if you leave your luggage here and just somehow come back at 3, we can figure it out. So I go back to the fucking, you know, like to a bar nearby and we say, okay, listen, let's figure out what to do. I almost cut the trip short. I almost said, let's just leave.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, settle in. She's spending most of the nights in the thing. She says, just go out if you want to. I'm like, all right, fine. So I go out to like, you know, a bar or something. I meet Aussies there because that's what happens when you go overseas.
I love single serving friends.
Oh, yeah.
Story about that coming up.
Oh, yeah, totally, right? And so I meet just Aussie people there. I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? So, of course, we drink and we keep on drinking, right? And I'm going to like a late night comedy show. That's where I meet him.
Awesome.
We go somewhere else. It ends up being two or three in the morning, which, by the way, New York, the city that never sleeps, that's bullshit. Those places closed. It was a Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, right? Everything closes in New York.
Yeah, right? So I'm like, all right, fine. So anyway, I've had beer, Paul. I was drinking beer.
Holy shit.
Because Bud Light is actually easy to drink because it's like water.
It tastes like shit.
Yeah, but to me, I don't know anything, right? So I'm like, okay, so I'm chugging
them. Beer snob talking.
That's right. So anyway, by the time I was like, okay, well, this place is closing. I'll see you guys later. Maybe we'll meet up at some concert at Central Park, blah, 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 right? So I'm walking down Broadway trying to get back to this hotel, and I notice that I'm walking in a funny manner. Like, I'm really drunk.
If you can actually have the insight to recognize how drunk you are when you're drunk, you're fucked.
Yeah, I mean, with all the meditation I do, I tend to... I know when I'm drunk. Like, I know when I'm experiencing it, right? So I'm sitting there going, oh, wow, I'm fucked up. And I'm, like, looking around for food for some reason, right? And as I think, oh, that place is, you know, the deli's in New York where you can go to the... I'm like, oh, maybe... Bleh, I just hurled everywhere,
oh,
right?
Wow.
All over the floor, and I was kept on walking. So I was hurling in a line.
Oh, the casual vomit.
The casual vomit, which I've never done before. I'm like, oh, that's not the best anyway.
That's not the best.
Yeah.
Anyway, I should go home and see Mum.
Yes! Because I have nowhere else to go, right? So I go back to the hotel, and I'm hoping she's asleep. But I get up there, bing, get in there, open the thing, and there's a bathroom.
Did she say,
when?
It's 3 a.m. You're not James Bond,
For all I know, she did, Paul. But here's the thing. I walk in and like she's definitely woken up. She's a light sleeper, right?
Yep.
And it's the room with a twin chair. So she's got...
Yeah.
And so I'm like... All right. And then, by the way, everything...
in New York, everything's small.
Everything's small. It's a small... And it's not a cheap hotel, but it was a small room.
No
right?
Shit.
So I'm like, all right, get in there. She's there. She's definitely woken up. I'm like, hey, Ma, I'm just going to the bathroom. And I just dip right into the bathroom and immediately throw up for 2 to 3 minutes. Right? And I'm right? Under this, right?
Talking on the porcelain telephone.
Oh, big time. Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm trying to puke quietly. Apparently, I can't do that, Paul. And it sounds like, it sounds like that.
Right? Can you imagine Wayne doing anything quietly?
Exactly, right? So I'm just hurling, and it's just embarrassing to throw up in front of your mother, like, because you're drunk. And then I had to shower, because I definitely threw up on
Did
myself.
Did she hold your hair back?
She, She didn't leave the bed, Paul. She didn't leave the bed at all.
Plus right? What hair?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, good.
So anyway, so finally I clean that when I get back to bed. And it's just like, she's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I just don't want to talk about it, Ma. And that was it. So I woke up. That was it. That was just me throwing up and being fucked up in New York with my mother.
Like, it sounds like the first part of the night was one of the best experiences you've had traveling.
It wasn't. Anyway. Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a bit of that going on, my list, I have to say. Like,
please.
Where
yeah, you know, it goes. Starts good, goes bad. Happens a lot.
My number three is it starts bad, goes good.
Oh, good.
So we'll hear again about the rest of this day and the trip later in this episode. But 2008 for me, Oktoberfest in Munich.
Oh, yes. Go on.
Went there with, again, the aforementioned Christian, Brett and Nigel, and we went as part of this big Aussie group of travellers. And, they're going to the Hofbräuhaus.
Nothing the locals like more.
Yeah, the Hofbräuhaus, which is the biggest beer tent hall, if you want to call it that, that they've got. But to get in there and get a spot, especially on day one of Oktoberfest, where the mayor of Munich cracks the first keg, I think, can't remember if it's 12 or 12:30, but sort of that time, you have to be there at 6:30 a.m. And
really?
You line up that early to get us. I think they open the doors at 8:30 or 9:00 to line up for 2 to 2.5 hours. And when I say line up, it's not a line up. It's just every fucker filling every crevice possible. And therefore, it is an absolute chaotic mess.
I remember you telling me about this and saying to me, you both all looked at each other and said, Wayne would hate it here.
Oh, I hated it there.
Yeah.
You are. It's like being in on the tightest sort of. People are rubbing shoulders.
If you've got
shoulders,
any claustrophobia.
Like, yeah. And that's just in the courtyard / whatever. It was massive, this place. And the line went out the door. And so when they open the gates or the doors into this beer hall / tent, they have like special forces dudes.
What?
Who I don't remember if they're holding machine guns or not, but they're holding fucking, like they are massive. They look
business.
Like, all look like Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
Who will murder you. But that's not the problem. The problem is the whole crowd surges forward. Because the rule is, at Oktoberfest, you are not allowed to be served beer unless you have a seat.
Oh.
So you have to be sitting at the beer long sort of tables.
Do you have a table booked?
No. It's just, there's no booking.
You just at least scatter.
Not, yeah, not for the, I'm sure there is for locals. So I did see some high, because there's a couple of levels, and the higher level, it looked like sort of very casual locals were in there, and I'm sure they did book those tables. But for the masses,
yeah,
you're on the floor and whatever else. The other rumor that went around was you can't wear underwear. If you wear underwear into this place and it's spotted by a fellow Hofbräuhaus attendee, they will rip a whole people will rip your underwear off underneath you. They'll basically rip it to pieces and pull it out and then put it on top of this pig that is on the middle of this whole area.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Did you wear underwear?
I did not because I was too frightened. So I was freeballing.
So you were freeballing?
I was.
Wow.
And I know Christian back, he was like, fuck that shit. No one's done that to me. And he refused to. And anyway, no one, but we did see lots of underwear up there on top of that pig by the end of the day.
Imagine someone like fucking atomic wedgieing you and ripping your underwear off. That's pretty fucking, I probably would have gone.
That's not the worst part of it.
Go on.
The worst part of it was, as these doors open, everyone surges forward. You've heard these stories about people being crushed to death.
Yeah. Jon Snow, motherfucker.
I'm being propelled forward. And there's no, like, I'm just trying to. The doors aren't any bigger than your normal sort of set of two dimes double doors. And hundreds, if not thousands of people are trying to get in there at the same time. You could not stop. And I was being pushed towards the wall. And I'm like, if I hit that wall, the edge right where the door is.
You'll get crushed.
I'll get crushed. It was a moment of pure terror.
Holy shit.
And I remember throwing my elbow into whoever was next to me and just almost dive tackling this guy.
To get to the middle.
To get into there.
It was bloody hell, that's scary.
Awful. It was all, you know, it got through, like, you know, heart racing many miles a minute, thinking, fuck me. We find a table, we sit down, and then proceed. That's bad enough. That's the pure
moment. That was getting the tits off.
But the following on for that is now you're sitting down for 3 to 4 hours of nothingness. It is boring as fuck. No one's got anything to do. You're not allowed to have a beer until the mayor of Munich cracks that first.
Wait, you're
keg.
Sitting for 3 or 4 hours doing nothing.
This is just to get a spot in this fucking thing.
Can you drink anywhere?
You can drink normal, like they'll sell you non-alcoholic drinks, but no beer.
For 3 or 4 hours after you almost died.
Yep. I think they serve pretzels. That's all you could eat.
Fuck
like,
pretzels.
It was and like you go to the toilet. This is such a male dominated experience. The line for the male toilet is so long, you've got to line up for like 5 minutes to take a piss.
Dude.
Women, when I was in line to take said piss, were going to the women's toilet with no line, coming back out and taking photo of the men's line. Because that never happens. You go to a festival.
Yeah, it never happens.
You go anywhere. Saying,
that's a flip.
Women take longer in the toilet, and hence the line gets longer.
And men just piss on the fucking...
Men just piss anywhere.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Wow, this is shit.
It was an absolute, it was one of the worst half days of a holiday I've ever had. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why would anyone do this? And so here's the moral of the story before I get to the good part. Just don't go to Oktoberfest on day one. Day two, it's all completely different.
Is
as
it?
I will tell you in the second half of today's episode.
All right,
episode.
Good. Wow, I had no idea. And I would have been pissed at all of you cunts for bringing me the post. I'd be like, fuck all of you and your beer drinking bitch. Tell me about the Lederhosen, Paul. Were there chicks in that?
There was that traditional German.
Yep. But, you know, it's usually the serving wenches sort of scantily. Yep. Yeah, okay.
And we met someone who was an Aussie girl who only worked the 2 weeks of Oktoberfest each year. And off tips alone, she would make $50,000.
Is she hot?
She was okay.
Oh, wow. You don't even have to be like cray cray. All right. 50 large.
Because they told us, a stein was like 750 or maybe it was 8 euros.
Yeah. It's quite a bit.
So that's was it 1 liter, I think, of beer?
Yeah.
At that time, 2008, if you just have to give them 10. Just give them 10 euros and they will make sure you never run dry.
Ah.
And that was exactly the case. And
so she was making $3 a beer.
She would come back, euros.
€3 a beer. Euros. It's like $9.
And they would come back with these arm braces and they would be holding like 6 steins. There's 18 euros.
Yeah.
So every time she went up and came back, $30. Something like that. That was about the exchange rate. Every time.
That's quite a... And if you don't mind being in that crowd anyway for 2 weeks or whatever, you're good.
Anyway, so there you go. That's my number three.
Very nice.
Probably should have done the top five worst. This is...
Yeah, this is it. This is it. Okay, my number two. This one's a bit saucy, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to be the other one.
All right.
Wayne would like you to.
How would you like to suck my butt?
Well, no, it's not quite that bad. However, it's not a million miles away because I'll tell you about... I'm embarrassed to tell you this one, people, but this is what I do for you. I tell you it's embarrassing.
Me shitting my pants almost, that's not embarrassing enough?
Oh, that's nothing compared to this.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I don't know. All right, look, here's what happened. Took place in my birth country, Singapore.
Right.
All right. I believe it was, I haven't been back there since my early 20s. All right. So I was like 23 and change. Maybe.
Right, so circa 1999?
Yep, around there. And I went with my cousins, right? Not to throw anyone under the bus, but I went with my cousins, right?
Yeah, you have a lot of cousins. So
I do.
No one
and it could
the
be
bus.
Anyone, right? Yeah. Right? It was dairy tea. And so it was dairy tea and
good.
Motherfucking...
Not mentioning dairy tea.
Dairy tea and AT. Anyway, so...
AT.
Yeah, right? But we went there. And what happened was... Now, when you're Asian, you not only have a network of cousins. Those cousins have cousins. And then so on and so on and so on. So you end up with this...
You know everyone.
This generational thing where you go there. And what happened was he said, yo, man, we got to hit up my cousin when we're there. Let's go, player. And I'm like, all right, cool. So it's like the third night we're there. And he's like, all right, let's first of all go for satay.
Why not?
Very important, right? And that's where we meet his cousin, who I do not know and have never met before.
Cousin of my cousin is my cousin.
Exactly, right? Exactly. It's incestuous, shall we say. Anyway, he's like, yo, man, we're gonna hit Poseidon tonight. And I was like, what's Poseidon? He says, it's a bar. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, there's a million bars in Singapore. So what? That's cool. He goes, no. It's a bar in Singapore. And I was like, you're not making it any clearer. He then says to me, look, it's a bar. There's ladies there. And I'm like, if you take me to a whorehouse, I'm not going. He goes, it's not a whorehouse. And I'm like, what is it then? He goes, it's not four floors of whores, which is a common place in Singapore, right?
Is it really?
You don't know that place?
No.
Four floors of whores is literally four floors of whores. Joe and Bill, who used to live there, she's been there a few times.
Oh, for drinks.
Yes. No, I don't think she was working for.
No, but like...
Mel went there though. So. Anyway.
Why banking on no one in this episode that we know. Excellent.
Okay. Anyway, so he takes us.
I meant she went for drinks with people.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So Mel, in fact. So there you go.
So did Mel.
All right. So he goes and he says to me, "I got some ground rules to tell you." And I'm like, "No one's given me ground rules to attend a bar before. So what the fuck is this?" Right? He says, "If a woman asks you to buy her a drink, you can say no." I said, "I know. Wait a minute. What? What's going on here?" And I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and then they refuse to tell me shit. So after satay, we just fucking hightail it to this place.
And they're refusing to tell you. There's all kinds of warning signs here, Wayne.
I know, but you know what it is? I think I'm the kind of guy that people play tricks on, Paul. That just seems to be how it is. Anyway, I go there, right? First of all, it's in an old shopping center. And the shopping center, shopping centers have two levels and there's like little shops. This place is very small. And it's called Poseidon. It's in the sea. We walk towards it, right? And I notice it's sort of banging inside. It's dan, da, 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 it's all this sound, whatever, right? There's a woman out the front.
Mortal Kombat fucking
it is. It's da, 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 da. Well, I was in Asia, Paul, so yes, all right?
Well, Mortal Kombat! I know what song we're going on now.
I'm happy with that. Good. All right. There's a lady out the front who I thought was out the front having a cigarette. Again, we're in Asia. Everyone's smoking. So,
especially 25 years ago.
Yes. Right. So, and he's like, okay, we're in, guys. Let's go. And there's a doorman, right? And I noticed like later on, there's actually a few doormen. And there's a reason for that, Paul. So we go in there and it's like, okay, you know. And he's letting us in. And the girl who was, I thought, out front smoking, as I walked past, she just grabbed my cock.
And she said, do you want to buy me a drink?
Nope. She just grabbed my cock. Oh. And then I didn't know, so I didn't stop walking. So she just grabbed it. And then she grabbed the guy behind me and the guy behind. She just grabs cocks as she walks.
Fuck?
I know. She's cock grabber. She's the door cock grabber.
How do you reckon that looks on a CV?
I'm sure she'll dress it up. But yeah. Anyway, I walk in. What is apparent?
How do you dress up cock grabber?
She had an off-the-shoulder black number.
Gloved cross-dresser.
She didn't have any gloves on. This was a bear grab cock, right? Anyway, over my pants, I should say, right? She didn't manage to get
walking,
in there.
Right? Why are you walking in with no pants on?
Well, she was quick enough with the zipper and got her. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying, right? That wasn't the case, though. Anyway, I walk in, and anyone who goes to Singapore, you know, is Poseidon, okay? I think it's still there. There's lots of Asian women there, as befits an Asian country. Many Asian men there.
Guilty as charged.
I may be the whitest one there, and I'm Eurasian, ladies and gentlemen. So it's like they're chicks, and they're obviously like talking to you, and I'm like, something's up here. They're not hoes, but they're not just women who are there, right? They're clearly employed by their bar.
They're not customers.
No, exactly. And anyway, like I see during that, I just, let's just get a beer. And the thing to get there is Corona. For some reason. Right?
25 years ago.
Well, I know. I just walked
before
up there.
Before beers not really exist.
Well, yeah, exactly. Craft beers. Exactly. So I got a Corona and I'm drinking that and I'm like, okay. And I've had a few drinks at the fucking place, so I'm all right. So anyway, then women start approaching you. Hey, where are you from? La, 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 right? And there's like four or five women just talking to our table. I'm like, well, this isn't normal. And then one of them goes, I'm horny, huh? And then.
Did you say I'm horny la?
La.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh, you did.
Right? It's akin to la.
Cultural discussion aside here.
Yes.
The difference between R and La?
Not too much, Paul. Okay. It's an emphatic at the end, and sometimes it is transitioned to Le. All right? So L-E-H as opposed to L-A-H.
Okay.
But anyway.
I remember you one time, well before I met my
Yeah, Paul's my wife girlfriend. Is from Singapore, she's did not work in this bar. All right? So
and also doesn't say the word La about anything.
No, she's gentrified. She's gentrified Asian like myself.
But. I do remember when I was telling you about, you know, starting to talk to another woman from Singapore and she typed La into a message and you're like, she typed La!
It's a thing, right? Anyway, this woman who mentioned the La horniness then removes her bra. Just removes her bra. Pulls down her top, tits her titties out,
what?
Removes her bra.
Come on, this is a brothel.
Well, here it is, Paul. I don't think anyone got any stuff done to them, but she then
because she didn't opt to.
I didn't. Well, here's the scam. I found out it's a scam. Okay, Paul?
Yeah, well,
she then takes that she takes that bra and puts it on my head like Mickey Mouse ears, right? And everyone laughs, right? And then, and by the way, this is a thing when you're bald. People out there who aren't bald, right? People, women, if in a non-ho environment, if a woman asks to touch
sex
your
worker.
Head, she's coming on to you, all right? I've had women say, "Ooh, I like your head. Can I touch it?" And then we hit it. So, but that was not in this kind of, not in a paid environment. Anyway, they're doing that, and all night they're just they're trying to get us more drunk. And they're like, buy me a drink, and I'm going no, 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 like this, right? And finally, he's like, give me a drink, and I'm like, all right, fine, you can have a Corona.
You've warmed me down. Right? I've had 17 Coronas.
Yeah, yeah. I said you can have a Corona.
Or in Wayne's right? World, 3 Coronas.
Exactly. And I made this mistake, Paul.
You already told us the mistake.
Yeah, instead of going to the bar and getting the Corona, she runs off and comes back with a Corona. She says, it's on your tab.
Oh.
And I'm like, huh? And I'm too drunk to know any better, right? Anyway.
Again, 3 Coronas.
Yeah. So, anyway, that night goes on. Debauchery ensues. Nothing really goes down. No one grabs my dick anymore. But women do grab my hand.
Oh, wait. Is this like a credit card scam?
No, sorry. What do you think? What do you think?
Not to destroy the...
No. So, at some stage, she will take my hand and put it on her titty and stuff like that. But I'm like, okay, well, I'm very uncomfortable.
That's awkward.
Are you kidding me? I'm a dude from Perth. I don't know what's going on.
We're the guys who are like, you know... At
yes.
The aforementioned bachelor parties who were like women are doing with a random guy maybe that
yes.
We know who is getting married and you know putting and I'm like, whoa.
No, we are always uncomfortable in those places.
This is not sexy.
Remember we had an actual topo say to me, I love places like this because I know that you guys are nervous and you're not going to be an asshole.
Yes, that was
and me and Paul actually don't look them right in the eye when their tits are out just giving us drinks because we can't just do it. We can't do it, okay?
It's very awkward.
Yeah. So we're those kinds of guys, right? Because there was women dancing on the counter topless and doing shit like that. That's how it goes.
It was the titty twister.
It was the titty twister, right? Anyway, I remember going...
I keep referring to this. It's from Dust to Dawn.
Okay, yes.
Just to be clear.
Now, the whole night, I have bought 7 Coronas and 4 of them were for me and 3 were times that I said, okay, fine, have another Corona.
I was wrong. Right? You had 4 Coronas. I apologize.
Yeah, but that was all. That was the exactly, right? So I remember because I was sober enough to remember, right? Because I'm not really that good at drinking. Towards the end of the night, around midnight, okay... I get Dari T look at me and give me a nod and say, come over here. I'm like, what? So I break away and because we're just talking with people and everything, right? I go up to him. We step outside. He says, the bill is $3,100. Right?
What?
And I went, what? He says, it's three grand. I said, I bought 7 drinks, bro. Even if they were $50 a pop, or I think they were, might have been $20 a pop, right?
Yeah, well, that would, doesn't yeah, surprise me. Right?
That's not like 1/3 of 3 grand. And I was like, what are you shitting me? He goes, yeah. And I'm like, and I look around and those big guys, the bouncers are all there, which means they're used to people disputing the number, i.e. you're not leaving till you pay.
Oh my God.
I went, you have got to be fucking shitting me.
Did he know this was going to happen?
I guess not because he fucking let it happen. And then the dude that he's with.
Tells him quietly, so he tells you quietly.
Yeah, and I'm like, shit. I'm like, that means these women obviously went to the bar and marked five down when I bought them
3, one. 3,000. For all 3 of you
doing
your thing, and they would have drunk more. But still, this is an absolute extortionist.
Look, if it was even $1,000, I would have gone, that's wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I went, shit. I said, we are out of options here. He goes, yes, we are out of options here. And I went,
wow.
And I said to him, listen up, how many did you guys drink? I said, oh, look, we had about 14 or 15.
Yeah, that,
right?
I know that would have drunk more.
And so I said, all right, well, whatever that number is, and whatever, if I did 7 and you did 14 and you did 15, we're going to split that, those amount of ways, and that's what I'm going to pay. I'm not going to pay you $1,000.
Yeah, right? Fair.
So I ended up paying something like it might have been $500. Right?
Fuck.
And I was
like, 1999 money.
I know. That's like a lot more now.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe this shit. And I said, we're leaving right fucking now. And they were like, yeah. I said, no, we're leaving right fucking now.
I'm leaving now. Right?
I'm leaving now. I'm going to get a cab. If you're in the cab with me, I'll take you home. And that was it. So that was my time in Singapore at Poseidon.
And did the cousin's cousin, was he like a gangster?
Not especially. Gangster,
but like, was he really rich or well off? Or was like, oh, I just do this every weekend. Sorry, guys, I'll cover you.
For some reason, that conversation didn't come up. Like, it was just, this is the bill. Now that I think about it, it might have been slightly under 3, but it was a lot.
Still, no, clearly, you might have been slightly under the number, but it was way out of line.
It was way out. And they would obviously take...
Not even close to in line.
Yeah, obviously, this is their whole scam. They'll say, buy me a drink. Then they go mark down 7 drinks. Do you know what I mean? And that was it. So, there you are.
With that very excellent story... I'm now going to make an executive decision, Wayne. I'm looking at the time of this episode. There's no way we get to do top 5.
Good. Let's not do top 5. We'll do another time.
Yeah. So whatever we said at the start of the episode, this is now the worst
five experiences.
And then we'll come back. Not next week. Next week we have a guest on the show, which I haven't told Wayne about yet, but we did corroborate with him a little while back.
We'll revisit.
So episode 473 will be our top 5 travel experiences.
I don't know if my top 5 works without my worst 5. So
we'll just have to call people back to it. Honestly, this is going to be a 2.5-hour episode.
Okay, forget it. We're doing only bottom 5 travel experiences in this episode.
Yeah, I'm making executive decisions.
I'm glad you did that, Paul, because I have to, take a shit later and stuff. So I got stuff to do.
So this will end up being like an hour and change episode.
Then that's a normal show. All right.
It is. It is. My number 2, Wayne, then comes from a trip in 2012 I did, which was very. So I mentioned the Thailand trip, which was latter 2012. This was April 2012, so 12 years ago. And I know it popped up on my Facebook feed, just gone, and this has multi layers as to why it's the second worst thing that I've ever experienced on a travel.
Keep going.
It's when I'm flying from Perth. To Paris. Uh-oh. To run the Paris
I remember this
marathon. Okay, I started running in 2011. And so about 15 months after I started running, friend of mine who's a fair bit older and his wife is about the same age as we are, now wife, they were getting married on Jersey Island. And he said to me, he's a runner. He'd run heaps of marathons at this point in time in his life. He said, Paul, let's run the Paris Marathon together. Come to my wedding and let's do this whole trip.
I should mention he's a much older guy.
Yeah.
So even more impressive.
At this stage, he was in his early 60s.
Much more impressive.
Very, super fit guy, young beyond his years, wonderful fellow, name of Bill. And so I'm like, all right, well, I feel honored to be invited at this stage of my life.
That, huh?
Right then when I was 37, almost my fucking hamstring just back locked up there.
Speaking of getting to be in the 60s.
Yeah, that's 48. So, yeah, what was I then? 12 years ago. So, 36 years old. Had started running 15 months in. I'd run one city to surf. And I think the longest I'd run at that point in time was 15K. So, I started training. I did it in a 10-week window. And just before we left, I think it was 6 days before I flew out, I badly did my calf. I had to go and have scans to make sure it wasn't a deep vein thrombosis.
Wow.
Or anything that was going to kill me if I got on a plane.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, you've basically done a really bad injury here. They didn't say I'd torn. I can't remember the exact words they used, but they said you should not run a marathon at your risk. I'm like, well, I've paid to go to fucking Europe for a marathon. I had run 300 Ks in 1 month. In the lead up to this, I'm running this fucking thing.
Very impressive.
And I decided to take anti-inflammatories and painkillers and everything under the sun I possibly could to get through this marathon, which cost me the next 4 months of not running after that. But anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the difference between me and Paul. Paul would press ahead, whereas I was like, this trip is now going to be called How Many Croissants Can I Eat?
So that's the preface to the actual shittiness of it. And my then girlfriend, same as the person in 2012 who came back to be by my side, she was traveling around Europe at the same time. So we arranged to meet in Paris and she would join this group and then come to the wedding. And our friends, Bill and Rachel, were very very kind to allow me to bring...
This Patsy, yeah?
Yeah, Patsy, yeah. To that. I think they met her once, I think, maybe, or maybe twice by that point in time. So yeah, that's bring her to our destination wedding. Again, we'll come back to that one in the second part of this episode, not episode 471. I had a lot of frequent flyer points. So I'm flying Qantas, the aforementioned piece of shit domestic flagship carrier of Australia.
They know.
And I decided to try and use this to upgrade to premium economy.
Great call.
And they're like, well, we can fly you. You got to fly to Singapore. Then from there to like fucking Dusseldorf or some shit somewhere in Germany. But we can, and then from there to the UK, and then the UK to do it. And the only leg of these four legs you can use the premium economy points on is the long leg from Singapore to Germany.
Yep.
But we're going to charge you as if you've had the whole four legs done premium economy. I'm like, get fucked.
Why?
Yeah, that's just the way this works. One leg is premium economy. They charge you as if all legs are premium economy. So then, I'm like, nah, fuck that. I'm not doing it.
Then, and you don't get all legs premium economy?
No.
All right.
So I went and changed all my flights around. And so I managed to make it work that I would fly Qantas to Germany. I'd get on a British Airways flight, which is a code share carrier with Qantas, to London and then backtrack to France. All of which would land me in France Friday afternoon before the marathon on the Sunday.
Yep.
So I have a day and a half, which is not ideal, to be honest, as I've now learned, but still good enough time.
Better than getting off the plane and then onto the fucking track.
So I land, all that flight goes according to plan. I land in, which is the one that's way out now. I've got to get this right. I think it's Gatwick. I land at Gatwick Airport.
Yep.
So not Heathrow, City Airport. Yep. But the next flight's from City Airport. Mm-hmm. So, no, actually it was meant to be from Gatwick. So I land, my luggage doesn't arrive.
Mm.
Okay. So I, you know, it's got my running shoes in there. It's got all my running gear in there.
Yeah.
So I go up to the desk at British Airways and I say, look, I've flown blah, 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 blah. I need to be in Paris. I'm running the marathon on Sunday. They're like, is your next flight with us? I'm like, no, because I next flight was with Air France. And they're like, nothing we can do for you.
What? Then what?
Bad luck.
So I'm
like, you fucking assholes.
So what do you do?
I said, you'll just have to arrange alternate accommodation. Yeah. I said, I've already missed my flight. Because I'm here. You were meant to land me at City. I was flying. That's right. They rediverted because of fog. They rediverted to Gatwick because of fog over London. I missed my flight with Air France. You have made me miss my flight.
Do they not just put you on the next flight?
No, because you're not with us.
Oh, shit.
So they're like, bad luck. So I said, what am I supposed to do? I haven't got my luggage and I've missed my flight. What am I supposed to do? They're like, not our problem.
Really?
So I've never flown British Airways in my entire life ever again. And would encourage everyone listening to the show to never fly British Airways. Fuck you pricks.
They're really old stewardesses. So
point being, so I then get on the phone and I call Air France and I say, this is my situation. I know I'm meant to be flying like 20 minutes ago and I've missed that flight. Air France, this is contrary to popular fucking belief.
You're expecting va-de-voir, poo-poo, fuck off.
Yeah, they're like, fuck you, whatever. They said, no problem, sir. We understand. If you can get to City Airport, we'll put you on another flight, two fronts, free. No, fine, just on another later flight today. Wow. Now, I realize there's only an hour 20 flight, whatever it is, from London
to
Paris.
But still great customer service.
How good was that?
Fantastic.
I just had to get across the city and do this, but without my luggage. So, give us your address. give us your address in Paris. And when we find your luggage, we'll send it to you there. I said, well, I need it by Sunday. Well, we can't guarantee that. So I get on the train. I go across the city, spewing, and I get to City Airport. And as I get off City Airport, I get a phone call.
It's in London, yeah?
Yeah, it's all in London. Yeah. Pretty sure. I said, your luggage is going to arrive and it will get to the airport, blah, 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 at whatever time. So now it became this race against time.
Yeah, you've got to try and catch that shit.
I've got to get my luggage and get it on this flight to Air France. It was the most stressful fucking day you can possibly imagine. Remember, I'm carrying an injury.
Yeah, and you can't handle that shit like James Bond.
And sorry, I'm not Dolan's James Bond waiting in this
apparently,
podcast.
Apparently.
And yeah, my girlfriend is waiting for me in Paris as well. Everyone's expecting me. And it was just a disaster of epic proportions. I eventually get in there like 9 hours late with my luggage, I'm thankful to say. But through no fucking effort of British Airways, like, you just suck it up, fella. Yeah. You should have kept flying us everywhere. It was a valuable lesson to me to not trade, if you're on the same journey, fly with the same codeshare partners, because then they would have looked after me a lot better. But so, still, it was so awful.
Can I ask you, because I one place I've always wanted to go, although I've been told not to go there now, is Paris.
Right now, I'm not sure it's great.
Yeah, but no, apparently it's not for good now. But I just wanted to live in Montmartre like an artist for a fucking week or something. Anyway.
Sure.
But
and eat croissants.
Eat croissants, of course.
And cheese.
Yes, cheese and butter. But now, so when you were there with your girl, was Paris magic? I know you were doing the marathon there, but was it a magically wonderful romantic place? Did you get any of that?
Look, it was mainly about the race, to be honest.
I understand you had an objective, but like after that was
done. We were there Friday night, late, until I think we flew out Monday morning.
And how'd you do?
We didn't fly out. We Eurostarred back to London.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I did the marathon, and the coda to this story is,
go on.
Because I was injured and my running gait changed, I ended that race with the biggest fucking blood blister.
Now, Paul, I remember because you posted this picture of that on Facebook and I threw up.
The most commented on photo.
I threw right up.
ever put anywhere on any social media.
Go ahead and post it on the Facebook chat
I'd have to find it again.
Like, yeah, okay.
I might post it in the group as evidence of this story. Hey, why would you listen to this episode? Bam.
Yeah, that's it. Straight there. Gold.
It is massive and it was awkward and it was incredibly painful. My body had never hurt so much after anything, including a follow-up marathon I did the next year, which I was running. I ran 5Ks 3 days after the next marathon I did. So,
blam.
Still in a much better position then.
Still, it's something to be chased across the globe by your luggage and it's later on.
It's quite the story, hence why it's my number two.
Very nice.
All right, what is your worst travel experience, Wayne? Let's wrap this bad boy up. All right,
I'll go quick on this one because we've been going long, all right? So,
well, it would have been way long if we did the next fucking top five.
All right, this is about the last time I went to New York, which was 2016. Long story short, ladies and gentlemen, New York was for a long time my favorite city. It is now San Francisco, though I've been told that's changed again too.
Oh, I was at San Fran last year. It was
you
pretty
like it?
Cool, yeah.
All right, cool. So, New York, I get there. This is after having almost broken up with the said woman. We were actually fine by the time we got to New York. So, that was all good, right? Then, I went to, on my second night there after a five-night stay, on a planned five-night stay, I went to some burger joint and caught some kind of fucking virus.
Oh, no.
Right? And I don't know what virus
what
it was.
What kind of virus?
It was, I guess it was an influenza virus, but it didn't make me necessarily sick in the standard flu ways. What it did was it sapped all my energy. It made me feel like full. I couldn't shit.
Right. Oh no.
Constipation, very bad. I hate that. It was really, really bad. And I had to miss out on catching up with the various friends I have in New York for a lot of things, right? And it pissed me right off. I just had no energy to do anything.
Oh wow. Yeah.
And I was like getting towards the end of the thing. I'm like, fuck, just get me out of New York. I just need to get out of here. It was the only time I've ever wanted to leave New York because I love that place, right? Anyway, then, Paul, I had to fly from New York to Perth. Sick as a dog, right?
Oh, that's never
it
fun.
It is not, because it's fucking 27 hours or something by the time you're done, right? And like I remember on the way there, I was sitting in front of a lady and the Sydney to LA leg, which is like 17 hours, right? This dude comes up like to the girl behind me and says, excuse me, I heard that you just threw up in the toilets. And she goes, oh yeah, I did. And she's, okay, listen. It's a really long flight, and I can't allow you to infect the entire
passenger.
Oh,
that's really lovely that they look after people
yeah,
like that.
So,
sorry,
you're
going
to have to get up. She goes, oh, my God, what am I going to do? She goes, I'm sorry, but I can't let you fly. And he's trying. He's being as nice as he can about it.
She didn't even try. I was just nerves. She just said, no, I'm sick.
Okay. He said, even if it was nerves, this is too much of a risk. If you take the entire plane out, 17 hours in the air, what are we going to do? Land in the ocean? You know? So he didn't say that, but that's what he meant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to make anyone sick either. I knew that this bug was at a stage where it wasn't contagious, but I was like fucked. Like my entire head was fucked. And like, I was like, I wasn't coughing, but I was just stuffed up my whole head. And it was horrible. I felt horrible the whole time, right? I get in there. There's many legs to this. You got to go from New York to LA, then LA to Sydney, then Sydney to Perth, right?
Yeah, okay.
And I'm like, the first one, I'm like, oh my God. And I'm sitting with my girl next to me, right? And I'm like, ugh. And she's like trying to take care of me, to be fair, right?
Yep, I'm trying hard.
Fortunately, the long leg, we got separate rows because I really didn't want to like just be hacking all over someone and stuff like that, right? So, and I'm sitting there and I actually remember having this thought. I thought, you know what? I might die. I might actually die on this flight. I know I'm a catastrophizer, but I was like, and then I thought.
Previously established in our conversation before right, we put the mics right. on today.
And I'm like, but you know what? If I survive, maybe I can do anything because not many people live through this. I'm telling you. I'm thinking like that, right?
Maybe I'll be fucking Superman.
Oh, and the thing is, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't even try and sleep to get through the time. And anyway, it was just the worst flight I've ever, and I hate flying as it is. Finally, I got all the way back home and I'm like, okay, so I'm still alive. So let's see if I'm still alive tomorrow and then we can celebrate. But it was the worst fucking thing I ever had to do, man. All right. Shit.
There we are.
Way there you
worst
go.
Worst travel experience. My worst travel experience then also relates to my 2008 trip, boys trip through Europe. This was visiting the city of Copenhagen.
Copenhagen.
In Denmark. What a dumpster fire of a fucking place. Like, really? I don't think we have any listeners
as in Copenhagen itself?
Denmark. But look, if you are from Denmark, and I'm sure you can defend, I would love to hear from you. But at least 16 years ago...
Everyone talks about how Copenhagen's good, though.
All we had was assholes ripping us off. Left, right,
really?
Fucking
center. Really? Where'd it go? What happened? Tell me.
For starters, the price of Coke there, we started calling it black gold. Coke was as expensive as alcohol.
Coca-Cola?
Yeah. Like, you know, pint of kind of Coke, $8. Like, what the fuck? And this is 2008 money, obviously.
Bloody hell.
What the fuck is this shit? That, okay, I can get past that. That's fine.
Why?
We got off the train or the plane and we're moving our way towards our accommodation.
Mm.
And we see this complicated fucking scheme where some dude runs and grabs a person's bag off their one arm. They're spinning around going, what the fuck? And go to chase that person. And then another person hits them from the other way and steals their other bag off their other shoulder. Like, this is some coordinated
what
shit.
What the fuck?
What the fuck is going on here? Then I can't remember that walk or later in the few days that we spent there, but we're walking along and I watch all these really dodgy, shady characters stand up out of an alleyway and start rolling towards us. And it's only the Brett is the behind us. He walks through and Brett's a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
They stop and they melt back into the shadows.
You're like, kidding me.
Whoa. Anyone see that? And like, yeah, they're like, uh-huh. Yeah, we saw it.
Bro, if I was there on my own, I would be ass raped 10 times.
If you were there on your own, they would absolutely mug the fuck out of whoever it was. So that was those things.
Really?
We get to the hotel which we booked weeks, months in advance. It sleeps for this room. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Two twin beds and two rollout beds. They charge us as if it was a fucking two twin bed room thing.
Fuck.
This is what it is. So bad luck. Okay, great. Then the piece de resistance for me personally was we go to the Carlsberg Brewery for a brewery tour and we stumble across this in our sort of moving around the city. And it's sort of, I'm trying to make sense of the timetables.
Yeah.
Because it's not in English, but the times are there. And from what I can tell, there's no buses coming back by the time that we would have done this tour. So I say to the bus driver who's picks us up, I say, hey, look, we're going to do the tour. Have we got time? Will there be a bus to pick us up afterwards? Sure. Because it's not close.
Yeah.
It's out, a little bit out.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We did the tour. It's fine. Tour's fine. Yeah, beer or two in there. Da, da, da. We get out there, walk out. Someone says, no buses anymore. No buses till tomorrow morning. You fucking... So we have to walk 90 minutes back into the city. It's cold.
Fuck it's that
it
shit.
Was early October by this point in time. It's cold. I get sick 3 or 4 days later. And I, at that point in time, was the sickest I'd ever been in my entire life.
I remember this, dude. This was the year that everyone was overseas. Yeah. I was in the US. You were in there. The dollar crashed to the floor.
Yeah, it was during that, the financial. And, I could add that to it. Everything was twice as expensive as we thought
it was. Yeah, like some people were like, shit, I'm stranded here. I can't afford to go home.
But I'm specifically like, we all got on this train out of Copenhagen. And I remember Brett saying, you know, Brett's a pretty stoic guy. Doesn't complain about too much. Yep. Apparently he's never fucking cold.
Yeah.
Well, that's since been disproven.
Yeah.
He's like, well, Copenhagen tick. Best thing about Copenhagen, the fucking train ride out of here.
Really?
We all fucking hated it. Other than a very famous photo of Nigel with a couple of hot chicks, which is adorns I took.
And superficial, I've heard. Go on. So like, all right. Wow. Geez, that's.
It was such a shit city. I would never go back on that.
And that's right. You were sick for the rest of the tour, right?
I was sick for the rest of the trip and I flew home sick. Not quite as bad as what you're describing.
Yeah, but.
And yeah, I got homesick. It was awful.
That's fucked up. Actually, you know what? That was the worst year to travel. No one went overseas and had a good time that year.
Yeah, 2008.
2008.
Ooh. Though that said, I do have one as a tease for episode 473 of the podcast.
Go on.
Something from this trip is in my top five experiences as well.
Glad to hear it. I'm the same.
It's, yeah. It's certainly the most memorable trip I've ever been on. There you go. For good and bad reasons.
All right.
So there you go. Look, this ends up being a very long episode, but we still haven't heard from the listeners. To wrap it up,
let's hear it, people.
I'm going to have to cherry pick the worst of, but I'm going to do that in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with the worst from Jonas Land, who said his worst experience is coming home from Hawaiian vacation, partly because we were leaving Hawaii, but also because it was a red-eye flight, left at 11:30 p.m. and our seats were in front of the bathroom, which meant we couldn't recline. Every time we almost fell asleep, wham! The door slammed right behind us.
I thought someone shot on him by accident. But go on.
I can't reveal Chef Ben Randall's worst experience traveling because it ties in as a joke punchline on his best.
Okay.
Right? When we're going to do best in 473. But for 472, I can reveal Chef Ben Randall will be joining the show for the first time as a patron of the show for many, many years and a wonderful supporter. He is a chef, hence his name.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do the top 10 food scenes in movies.
I got a bunch of questions for Chef Ben Randall. One, I've heard from this guy on the line many times.
Yes, wonderful man.
Never spoken with him, and I really am looking forward to it.
Seems like a very funny man with some excellent input to have. So looking forward to that one next week on the show. Chris Yeeney, I think this qualifies as the worst. He hasn't specified it. Patron of the show as well. Wonderful support of the show.
Great guy.
Flew to Paris from East Coast US to propose to the wife. She got drunk when we were at the Eiffel Tower, so didn't then as planned. But a few days later at Sacré-Cœur, where John Wick had his famous duel, then arriving at the airport, we find out the airline dissolved overnight. Even pilots and staff were surprised.
What?
Had to scrounge together a few more days of hotel stay to get a new flight that was three times as much. No initial refund for months. But at least I was able to enjoy a Royale with cheese in the extra time there.
Shit, that's tough.
Very tough, but thank you for showing that.
But very romantic for him to fly across, you know, to...
Hell yeah.
Probably he's getting a little plane.
No wonder she said yes.
He's getting some ass, my friend.
Congratulations there. Aiden Parker. Went to Bali, left my backpack with my passport and about $500 Oz in the taxi. Driver brought it back to me untouched about an hour later.
Oh.
Same Bali trip, left my phone in the bus after a trip to a zoo about 1.5 hours away. The bus dropped it off to me the next day.
Wow.
I lost almost every damn thing I owned on that trip but never actually left anything behind.
That's actually amazing.
So I guess that's a positive, but it starts out as a negative. And to echo that, I left my phone in a cab the first time I went to Japan.
Yeah.
And as I realized, we're back up in our hotel room, I was panicking like as you would, like, fuck. And a phone call comes from the concierge saying, oh, the cab driver's come back, has found your phone.
Oh, my
God. Can you come down to collect it? And I was like, in America, I'd be like, here's $50. Thanks very much, mate. There, I'm like, I'm caught between, is it an insult? And
is it?
I don't know. Like,
always tip the guy, man.
Yeah, it's very different in Japan. Like, yeah, you offer money at the wrong place at the wrong time. So, anyway, point being.
What did you do?
I didn't. I was like, I basically bent forward till my head was touching my knees.
Yeah.
And said, thank you so much. You have, you know, thank you. And then later on, because I was drunk, I'm like, maybe I should have given you money. Shit, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have had a similar experience, Aiden. There you go. Glenn Sutherland said, I managed to remove an entire toenail tripping over a log in the Sahara Desert.
Oh, fuck. That's some Lawrence of Arabia shit.
That is rough.
What are you doing in the Sahara Desert, dog? That sounds like a story.
Yeah, that does.
All right.
Francis Booker said, worst experience I had was on the way home from Turkey. And then he checked in hand luggage and got into the country fine. Jesus, where are you flying from?
These people are fucking like...
However, on the way back, I discovered the hard way that you can't fly with electronics in your hand luggage from Turkey to the UK. There you go. That's the answer. They took my luggage. I got questioned by Turkish security for ages and then finally got released on the condition I paid for hold luggage and had a massive Turkish security officer stay with me till it was time to board my flight and sat almost on my lap.
Wait, you can't have electronics?
It was terrifying, apparently.
Like a phone?
Other passengers seemed quite scared as to what I'd done too, because, you know, he's this big belly security guy.
Holy shit.
All this for a laptop that was worthless and years old.
Oh my God.
Thank you for sharing that one, sir. Ben Benham, the man who kicked us off today with his wonderfully heartfelt email. Worst, the flight to Nepal to go trekking in the Himalayas. Long and boring flight, and upon arriving in Kathmandu, discovering that all our baggage was still in Vancouver.
Bugger me.
So, had to scramble to place near all our kit while still hoping our bags would arrive before heading out. They did not. So, that's like my story times two.
Yeah, but also you're in like fucking this strange land, motherfucking Himalayas. You know, yeah, it's messed up.
Andrew Watson, the man who gave us this idea today, said, worst was a snowmobiling trip to Romania where there was no snow.
Oh.
The tour company couldn't organize a piss up in a brewery, and despite it being Valentine's, one couple broke up and another canceled plans to propose because of how bad the trip was. Holy shit.
I know what that's like.
Holy shit. Erica San Pedro said, worst, taking Eurostar from train from Paris to London, and the train broke down under the English Channel. What was meant to be a 2.5-hour train ride became 8 hours of waiting and bus ride to London.
Damn.
That is some shitty, shittiness. Two to finish then. Laurie Miller said, worst, surfing on the Gold Coast. I had a late night dinner and was walking home to my hotel when I heard footsteps behind me.
Oh, shit.
I walked faster. The footsteps walked faster. I ran down the side street, footsteps behind me gaining, and turned around preparing to kick my attacker in the nuts and fight for my life when he said, miss, you left your money on the table.
Oh, shit.
He was a waiter from the restaurant returning the tip. I didn't know you weren't expected to do in Oz. Amazingly kind, honest gesture, but the stress took a year off my life expectancy.
Yeah, and he almost lost his dick.
What's worse?
The dick pole.
And lastly, from Matt Evans, worse, the day our plane dropped out of the sky.
Oh, shit, fat fuck.
People not wearing belts fully on the roof like in the movies then came crashing down. But was more worrying was how quickly some people totally lost their shit and became hysterical.
I would crap my Calvins.
There you go. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. So there you go. There's some of the worst travel experiences from our listeners. Thank you to everyone who got back to us. I got through everyone who gave us their worst.
Well done,
I honestly did. So no one to apologize for. That's it for today. What an episode.
What an episode.
Who knew
wasn't expecting this was
going to go. Thank you, Andrew, for the suggestion. We'll be back 473 with the best of. There you go, Wayne. We've now crossed off one more episode as we head towards the conclusion. Next week, the top 10 food scenes of the movie with Chef Ben Randall. Wayne, how do the good folk get in touch with us?
You can Google the Countdown Podcast and find our socials. Join us all up. Or you can send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com or check out the website, which kind of sucks dick. It's thecountdownpodcast.com.
Which we're not fixing now. It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
You can follow us on X at the Countdown PC and like and follow the show on Podbean where we host. The Facebook community is the other place you want to check out where all the discussion around topics and votes and all the rest of it happens.
Nice.
And that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us for a bit of a different episode. Hope you've had some fun with some of the stories that we've told. My name is Paul.
My name's Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
In the face of adversity. We'll catch you next time. See ya.
See ya.